SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Enough! Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
Very good Tuesday, race fans. Sirius 219 XM 201 Sports Zone 964. If you're listening to Sirius XM online and at our website as well, stevebick.com. And dark Tuesday, quote unquote, it's dark unless you're prepared to write checks for $900,000, $1.2 million, hell, $150,000, whatever the. Whatever your yearling budget might be. Last night, of course, after a fun day of racing, which we'll get to, but the sales action, exactly as advertised, certainly the preview we had with Nicole Russo, you may have listened in the last hour on the replay, absolutely out in front of a lot of what went on night one. They'll be back at it tonight at 6:30. They're at it right now, looking at the babies. People that might have been rebuffed a little bit last night, because undoubtedly these numbers were aggressive. And the very seemingly special catalog that was assembled by Fasig Tipton, and especially the late Bill Graves. And Graves was really, there was a presence last night in many ways. And, you know, the acknowledgement right at the start of the evening by Terrence Collier, paying tribute to Graves and his ability to pick out young horses for a sale like this. And then, and then into the action where, in particular, the Larry Best purchase of an Into Mischief filly, that one was 900. There was a couple, actually, of Larry Best, but the session topper and potentially the sale topper, the Life of 10 filly by American Pharoah, and American Pharoah's influence was felt early and often, but the Life of 10 filly that was pin-hooked by Graves' son, Brian, and that was a $500,000 Keeneland November purchase, a group of partners, and Brian Graves telling the assembled trade press that his father gave the filly the seal of approval, and that was one of the, if not the most notable of the weanling to yearling pinhooks, $500,000 into $1.2 million, and that was one of several. We talked about that yesterday with Nicole. And there were quite a few RNAs on the pinhook front. We'll do everything when it comes to recapping with Jessica Martini after the first break this morning. She'll join us from TDN and the comprehensive coverage of night one. If you haven't looked at Thoroughbred Daily News yet, copies will be available on the sales ground. And what a scene last night. It just absolutely packed. The ring was packed. The back ring and the party areas. And it was as busy. In fact, Angel Cordero, I was talking to Angel. Angel said, I never seen it like this. This was crazy. And that's not unusual. Night one, especially because it's the end of the race day, and, you know, people that may be wrapping up their their week at Saratoga, so they come over to the sale, and tonight will be probably a little quieter, or a little less, won't be quieter, but it'll be a little less packed, and the high energy was evident early on. I mean, we got there about 15 minutes in, and it was already a buzz. And it's interesting because that session topper, the Philly, at one point we were talking to Chris Baker and the American Pharoah Philly was in the back ring, and she was getting agitated, and in fact she kicked out and caught the railing pretty good and sent some people scattering away. The spectators, just a little bit of a heads up. And that's also true at Saratoga, too. People crowd the rail, and if you see a horse starting to go sideways and get agitated, step away from that rail. You have no idea where those legs are going to swing out. But then once she got into the ring, actually, she was very nice in the ring. She showed beautifully, and she was very calm once she got in. That was more the case for horses than some of the gallery. Terrence Collier having to admonish I won't call it a patron. I think it was just a fan that was in the ring and was carrying on. That produced a couple of chuckles. Nice part about last night, the money was spread around. And I think the top 10, what did I see? The top 10 went to 7 different parties. And that's always healthy. Certainly, Larry Best continues to make an important and very aggressive presence at the sales, and he's seeing results too. We've talked about this. We talked about it with Sid. Actually, Sid and Francis Guerin were literally the first two people as we were walking in. That was literally the first two people we saw. Sometimes you're looking to see somebody, and you go all night long, and you don't see them. Earlier in the day, Sid, I'll see you later. He sent me a text, and then literally was the first person we ran into. And we'll talk tomorrow with Sid. We'll do a whole wrap up and get his viewpoint, and he'll have had a chance, obviously, to talk to his own clients and everybody else. But Larry Best, considering what's already gone on at Del Mar this summer with Brill and Roaten and Instagram, and he's really seeing the kind of results that you hope for. And frankly, not every big spender and splashy entrant to this marketplace has seen this kind of success so quickly. And obviously it's got to translate beyond maiden wins. Instilled regard. He was quoted last night as saying, he said he hadn't cleared it with Chad Brown, but that he's expecting to run in the Pennsylvania Derby as he prepares. And that's probably a very appropriate assignment and a good, first East Coast target. The other names that kind of jumped off the page to me a little bit, and we'll see what Jessica has to say. Steve Young, for clients, was heavily involved from a $200,000 Go Sapper Philly up to an $825,000 Warfront Philly. There was also a couple of Colts, that Summerfront that was the only one of summer fronts in the sale. Colt 94, or Hip 94, the Colt, $325 to Steve Young. And there was also a Pioneer of the Nile Colt that went for $650 and a Curlin Philly for $400. So $2.4 million spent by Young last night. There's a story, and we'll have to get to Jack Wolf. Interesting development as a postscript to the Triple Crown season and Starlight's involvement in Justify because Donato Lanny, on behalf of Starlight West and SF Bloodstock, bought a pair, and Frankie Brothers was busy with the regular Starlight acquisitions. He bought a pair. So that, I thought, was notable. Carlo Vacareza, like a drunken sailor. Carlo struck early and often. He ended up with five, about a million and change. Kind of typical purchases, you know, a little bit under, you know, some fancy pedigrees that, you know, maybe went for a little bit less than some of the higher profile offerings. But he got, I think he ended up with two American Pharaohs by the time the evening, the first session had wrapped up. But Carlo, absolutely involved. Phoenix Thoroughbreds, they bought, I think, four. And that was worth $1.5 million. And Bridalwood, the Malones, with a couple of Malibu Moon and a Verrazano. So we'll get into everything and get the stories up close from Jessica Martini. Yesterday you had beer. Today you've got martini. It's a cocktail party every morning. 3 hours. I also want to include the Baffert purchase, of course. Baffert for Coolmore bought the other seven-figure offering of the night. You had the $1.2 million filly and then the $1 million colt, American Pharaoh, really the engine on last night's train. The storyline here includes the New York breeding program and one of the absolute stalwarts, Mrs. Nielsen, Joanne Nielsen, who's been breeding nice horses in New York before it was fashionable. American Pharaoh colt out of Party Silks, sib to Upstart. Yesterday's subject, the matter, frankly, with Mr. Evans and Rick Violette. But a terrific score for Mrs. Nielsen and her Sunnyfield farm. And she'll have certainly others when the New York sale takes over. And we'd love to talk to her. She got to be, you know, get to see her mostly, you know, at the New York sale. She comes to the races during the meet, but had her around Gary's barn, around the Siaka barn, quite a bit. And she and Gary have been friendly forever. And of course, bred Saratoga Snacks among her other just litany of nice horses, of good horses. So always happy to see Mrs. Nielsen do well. And it's funny how many, it's funny how the New York, you know, whether it's the New York bred program or in the case of the session topper, how about the you can't make it up catalog update? Because at 1:30 yesterday in Toronto, the sibling, Bohemian Queen, this was hysterical. You know, yesterday Woodbine, they got washed out. They had this crazy. Did you see the video from the paddock at Woodbine? The flood, it was unbelievable. So they had to abandon racing, but not before Sid Attard sent out the Animal Kingdom Life at 10 filly, the sister of the session topper. You can't make it up. I mean, 6 hours earlier, 7 hours, whatever it was, Bohemian Queen goes out and wins. And of course, Life at 10 herself, she's been perfect so far. She's had three foals, three winners, including this two-year-old who won nicely under Louis Contreras and wasn't favored, actually. That Truly Honored went out that had experience. Bohemian Queen was making a debut. And a nice string of of works, and 7 furlongs too, which is demanding for a first-time starter. So lots to talk about, and we'll get let Jess do it with us in about 10 minutes. Looking forward to that. Terrific coverage in the TDN, if you haven't had a chance. Let's also talk about yesterday's racing action, that carryover. And this was one of those nights, one of those days that was it was okay, did fine. L.O. Wazel, particularly helpful, right? That was okay in the eighth race. L.O. Wazel with a nice win at a nice price, and it was too late at that point, though, to help the big multis. And in my own pick six, and I didn't play a big ticket. I played a moderate ticket, but I thought it had a chance. Just 128, but it ended up with 3 A's and 3 C's. And a little maddening. The tough horse yesterday, the tricky horse, was the Belinsky Homebred, the Bustin' Stones colt, Bustin' to be Loved, that had to break from the rail. Was a $40 winner, but was not impossible. And I used him as a C. And believe me, a long time I sat there. And I'll tell you what the clue was. I mean, first of all, Bustin' Stones is very good with this kind of horse. You think about, well, Gary's got that Tribeca that's made a fortune, a $10,000 purchase, and has made like $300,000. They're win early and they're fast. I mean, but the rail, you know, the being inside, a little tricky. I mean, you knew Errat Ortiz would have to go. What was the hint came from Mike Welsh in the Clocker report. And what's interesting is that Welsh said, based on the works, and he had three workout notes for Bustin' to be Loved. And in the last one, he said, you know, we'll be passing horses late. And so you thought, all right, combined, you know, maybe a late kind of runner, and you know, this is going 6 furlongs, and being inside might be a little demanding. Instead, after actually breaking it right out of the gate, was not instantly on top. I mean, moved forward after, you know, after the most of the field had actually had a jump ahead of Bustin' to be Loved. But then, basically roused to the front by Errat Ortiz and never looked back, was never even threatened. And boy, that was a sinking feeling, let me tell you. You had that Lady Montdor, the sinking feeling, because I knew there was a kernel. There was that little hint. That's what you need. But we salvaged it with some of the late pops. That all-or-nothing horse of Rudy Rodriguez. I saw Rudy last night. I said, oh, big win in the nightcap. He says, oh, my God. He says, when the gate opened and she went to her nose, he said, I thought, that's it. This horse never going to win. Let's take a break. We'll come back. Lots to do this morning. I'll bring you up to date after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Join us at Presque Isle Downs for our two biggest days of racing. Sunday, September 16th, the $200,000 Presque Isle Mile. Monday, September 17th, the Grade 2 $400,000 Presque Isle Masters. North America's top filly and mare sprinters compete in the Premier Breeders' Cup Prep Race. Free Presque Isle Masters hats for the first 1,000 fans. Free t-shirts each night for the first 500 fans. September 16th and 17th, Presque Isle Downs, Erie, Pennsylvania. For more, go to PresqueIsleDowns.com.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Do you want unlimited access to handicapping without exorbitant prices? Then BrizNet.com has you covered with a variety of plans for past performances, pedigree, and raw data. The BrizNet.com Performance Plan offers unlimited PDF past performances for just $75 per month and is available at BrizNet.com/PP. American Produce Records Online puts the pedigrees of nearly 1 million dams and more than 2 million foals at your fingertips, plus sire stats, for only $275 per year and is available at BrizNet.com/APR. The BrizNet.com data plan offers unlimited access to race day data files, perfect for handicappers with their own database or to plug into other people's programs. The data plan is just $125 per month. Visit BrizNet.com for all this information and more, and discover why BrizNet.com is the handicapper's edge.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-938-4643.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Come on, baby. Come on, girl. Come on, baby. Come on, girl. I love you, baby. I love you now. I love you, baby.
We're back at the races. That was the scene, actually, last night. Straight out of The Devil Wears Prada. Quite a push and pull scene all around the ring and in the back. Jessica Martini, quite a evening at the Humphrey Finney Pavilion and the Fasig Tipton Sales Grounds. Pretty explosive. Good morning.
Good morning, Steve. How you doing?
Excellent. And you were busy, and Christina was busy, and you guys scooped up all the stories, and it was frenetic last night.
I'd like to say it was controlled chaos, but it was at least half of that. It might have just been chaos, yeah. It was an exciting night, for sure.
It had all the markings, and in the previews, in TDN and everywhere, given American Pharoah's presence and even Empire Maker's return to the marketplace domestically, there was a lot going on. And you know, then there's all the standards, the Intermischiefs, the Curlins, the Medagliadoros. But it was the first crop sires and most notably the Triple Crown winner that was the engine on the train.
For sure. American Pharoah stole the show last night. His weanlings were well received last fall, as you remember, and he's only gotten stronger this year with his yearlings. So he had the $1.2 million topper last night and also the $1 million horse. So big things from American Pharoah early on.
Well, and by getting 2 7-figure horses, it instantly matches last year. So if there's anything tonight, and on that topic, it did seem, in fact, I talked to Anna Seitz as things were just getting going, and based also on a conversation yesterday, it did feel like the catalog was a little bit front-loaded, that kind of unusually, and that's random, but it felt like this had potential to be the bigger of the two nights collectively.
I think it could build off of last night, actually. I think there are a bunch of American Pharaohs still to come. There's some really nice horses coming tonight, too. So I think it could build off of last night's momentum going into tonight.
Let's hit a number of the top hips. And I gave kind of an overview. The $1.2 million Larry Best continues to be a very welcome presence at these gatherings.
Yeah, I think when he first started out, we all thought, who is this guy? He might be a little crazy. But he's been proven that he kind of knows what he's doing with his results so far. He got not just the $1.2 million topper, but he also has an Into Mischief filly that he bought for $950. And, of course, Into Mischief is the sire of his nice two-year-old Instagram, who he bought at the Gulfstream sale for $1.2 million earlier this year.
John Dowd is his advisor, my reading. And they're working together, and clearly Best has a plan, and my good friend Joey Bianco did a nice profile and had a nice conversation with Larry Best. For those that he's not as reclusive as he was when he first busted into the scene, but if you haven't seen Joe's piece, that's a good starting point to learn about Larry Best and his approach.
Yeah, he started out, he wasn't really keen on talking to the press, but he's gotten a lot better, and he's, I think, great for the game. Just great to see somebody like that succeed. And as you said, he's a man with a plan. That's a perfect way of describing him at the sales. He definitely, he goes in, he knows what he wants, and he's not afraid to pay for it.
What is notable, though, he wasn't going further from what I read in your piece, that was going to be his last bid.
Yeah, he said if somebody else made another bid, that was it. No matter what they bid after that, he was done. He seemed a little surprised, actually, that he was able to get it for that.
I saw that he told you that, and we'll see about tonight. Did you get an indication how active he expects to be this evening?
You know, he's not somebody who would share that with me, Steve, so I'm not sure.
All right, let's...
But, I'm sticking around.
Exactly. Well, Bob Baffert was in the back, was bidding in the back, and early on, you know, was kind of mingling. And then when the Party Silks colt, the New York bred, came, here was Coolmore and Baffert, and Baffert had had a pretty good line when he said, I like the sire. That was...
he's had some success with that one, yeah.
That's so typical. you know, some people immediately said just that, oh, it's just Coolmore, you know, supporting the stallion. And I thought that was a little trite.
Well, it's what Coolmore does typically. I mean, they've done it over the years with a sire like Scat Daddy. At the same time, they're having a lot of success with it. So, you know, they're supporting good stallions, so they look smart doing it.
The third hip, and it hasn't gotten, or third and fourth, the Into Mischief at $950, Larry Best, the Banderoffs offered. And then there was the Curlin filly from Lane's End, Peter Brandt, who has returned to the game, you know, with vigor.
Yes, he's been an active presence. Not a big talker, though. He usually declines to talk to the press.
Yeah, some thoughts about, you know, some of the other big names and some of the other active participants. I started the show talking about Steve Young, who bought five for $2.4 million. Phoenix with four. Carlo Vacareza spent seven figures on his five. Bridalwood. And then there was, I thought, the developing story involving SF Bloodstock and Starlight, who, you know, had a relationship forged involving Justify. They bought a pair of $500,000 purchases, and then Frank Brothers with another pair for Starlight. What's going on there?
I think, you know, we're seeing the more and more of these partnerships, and it makes sense. I asked Tom Ryan from SF Bloodstock. I said, why all the partnerships? And he says, why not? So it's, you know, sharing the upside and sharing the risk as well. So it just makes sense. And as you said, they had so much success with Justify. Why not go back and have more of a partnership? The team obviously worked well together. So they bought these two colts, and they're going to send them out to Bob Baffert.
Well, the Colts are hip 16, which was the violence out of L.A. Divine, the Timbertown consigned. And then there was the Blame Colt out of my Mammy. And this was from Blake Albina. Donato Lanny also for the Chews, the $500,000 Uncle Mo Philly out of Lafina from TaylorMade.
Right. The Chews just actually had a winner at Del Mar, first that winner that Donato bought for them earlier this year. So it probably gives them a little added excitement to go into the sale and have him buy them another potential star.
Derlou.
But Donato was definitely busy last night.
Yeah, Derlou is the was the winner at on Sunday at Del Mar.
Right.
Talk a little about Phoenix, perhaps, and their operation and where they stand. Any chance to talk to the constantly evolving Phoenix team?
Well, they continue to be a big presence. I think last year they had the $1 million orb topper. So they continue to be big shoppers yesterday. Not quite at that same level, but they got a Carpe Diem, who had a very nice sale last night. Carpe Diem, another first-year sire. Obviously kind of not as big as American Pharoah. They're using the shadow, but Carpe Diem had a good night as well. And I think Phoenix bought four horses last night.
They did. Bob Lothenbach continues to be a very eager shopper as well. And when we talked to Ian Wilkes, must have been over the winter, and he said that with Lothenbach kind of officially retired, that he's turned his attention fully.
He's got some more time on his hands.
Very much. He bought the nice variety, and he got the American Pharoah Philly from Runnymede out of Margate Gardens, 3 1/4. Empire Maker, who has been one of my favorite stories just to keep tabs on with his return to North America and this first set of offerings here. There weren't any in the July sale. That one was $550,000. There was also a $255,000 Leams map among the first croppers, and a relative bargain from last night, hip 128, end of the session, the Super Saver Philly, $130,000.
Yeah, and I also noticed John Oxley, looks like he bought the half sister to the Classic Empire for $775,000 too. So he's obviously familiar with the family and wanted to get back in that.
The Candy Ride, absolutely. That was hip 93. I noticed that too. In fact, I printed out the page because I wanted to.
I beat you to it.
Girl, I'm sure Mark Cassie was suited up. He was busy moving between the Oxleys and Mrs. Weber, who struck for one. Something tells me you'll see Charlotte tonight. Maybe a couple more add to.
Yeah, she's usually pretty active at this sale.
Well, and she had the party on Sunday, and she said. With everybody saying all these nice things about what I did for what I've done for the industry, I guess that means they want me at the sale tomorrow and Tuesday. I thought
that
was
funny.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Why don't we hit the stories when it came to the Stallion so far? What were your impressions, particularly when it came to the first croppers and what we saw?
Well, I mentioned Carpe Diem, and I think I talked to a bunch of people who were really impressed with the yearlings that they saw by him. Tapiture, I believe, had a big sale as well. Hunter Valley sold a colt to Wesley Ward for $425,000, so that was good for Tapiture.
Well, and I'm just thumbing through. Palace Malice, just two last night. There's a bunch more tonight, and two modest prices, an $80,000 colt early. That went to Tom McCracklin. And then McCracklin came back for $1 1/4 for another colt at the end of the evening.
That's got to tell you something. He'd be somebody I would trust, his opinion. If he's liking them, that's a good sign.
And that's usually one of my favorite stories, when a McGreevy, when a McCracklin, the certain eyes that have just, proven themselves, year after year, when they tab a first crop, that's telling you a little bit of something. And there's plenty of people that use that as a barometer, in fact, and watch and observe and trade off of, off of people that are respected.
Sure. When you get pinhookers who are buying those under-the-radar horses, it's got to be because you think they're thinking next spring this horse is going to be even bigger. So they're getting in on the ground floor because they think there's a lot more to come.
Well, Leem's Map crosses over a few of the things we've discussed here. Carlo Vacareza bought one, the filly, from Topline for $200. J.J. Krupe grabbing one, $300,000. That was the colt from that was out of Swirls. Mike Ryan bought one, $235, Hip 63 from Lane's End. Spendthrift bought one from Vinery, $250. There were three RNAs, but not a bad night at all. Honor Code, a lot of buzz coming in to the sale, Jess.
Yeah, Honor Code had a good sale to do too. I think he's only going to get better. Obviously, those horses are going to need a little more time, I would imagine.
The Empire Makers, two came out, actually, Hip 38 and 86. But Chuck Zackney bought the filly out of Speedy Escape from Bluewater for $20. And as talked about earlier, $550 to the Lothan Box from Timbertown. That was the colt out of Miles of Style that Max Hodge gave me the heads up that was going to be he thought that colt was going to be one of the strong sellers of the sale.
Yeah, it seemed like the sale overall, it started out a little slow last night, but definitely picked up. I think the RNA rate was pretty high early in the day, but it got stronger and there was a lot of activity by the end of the night.
You mentioned Carpe Diem, and Carpe Diem is a horse that we've sort of tracked going all the way back to when Bo Lane had him at his farm. And Bo Lane let everybody know before Carpe Diem ever ran a race that he was going to be an important horse, whether it was going to be on the racetrack and then projecting later as a stallion. And 140, 375, 475, and 180. And there were two outs. So he went 4 for 4 last night in terms of sell-throughs.
He was always such a gorgeous horse. I mean, from the day one, everyone was always talking about him. Just an absolutely gorgeous horse, and it looks like maybe he's passing that on the good looks on to his next generation.
Well, that was something that Baffert talked about with the American Pharoah, and obviously he's been tracking the American Pharoah babies from early on, and including in the weanling market, and watching for for physical stamps. And he talked about the head, and he also talked about something, Jess, that I remember discussing with him, and that was temperament. That if he was going to pass along that amiable quality and that intelligence, that would be as valuable as some of the physical traits.
And he's definitely doing that. But, you talk to consigners and say, well, what's your American Pharoah like? I think every consigner that I've talked to has said they have that great temperament that he had. And so he's definitely passing that on, and that's great to see.
The pinhooking story, and Nicole Russo was with us yesterday, and we hit on a few, kind of following up. And for those that read, that do read TDN, that they, at all the sales, typically more for the two-year-old sales, they've got the daily pinhook guide. And when you go through this, there were quite a few RNAs from the pinhook attempts, quite a few, 2, 4, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 of them out of about 25 or 30 RNA'd. And then after the American Pharoah session topper, it felt, Jess, looking at these numbers, there was a lot of doubling of money. a lot of people, 260 to 575, that was the colt by Tisnow out of Sea Rock City that the Lieblongs bought, and Jack Johnston did the pinhooking. Top Line consigned, bought at the winter mix sale, for 260 and then fetched 575. That's a quality pinhook score.
Sure. I think you have to, when you're pinhooking, you have to have the numbers so that, you know, some of them are going to be home runs and some of them are not. So you need to have those ones that are going to hit that home run for you to compensate for the other ones. And I think, you know, pinhookers know that going in. And I also think, you know, at the select sale, that you're talking about people who maybe are more interested in, if I don't get the right price, I'll race them. They have that disposable income, I think, maybe more likely to take a horse home from a sale like this.
The Uncle Mo out of Lafina that went for 500, that was a nice hit for Bloodstock Investments and TaylorMade Consigned. $200,000 November purchase at Keeneland, and then fetches 500. How about that Curlin filly, Hip 96? There's a good one, too. Sandridge Stables bought for 470, but Green Door had nabbed for 250. So, you know, that's, you double your money. That's probably about the target, right? That's what everybody wants.
You can't complain too much, for that, yeah. And you mentioned that the Bloodstock Investments, that's a TaylorMade group. They've been putting together investment groups every year for the last 2 or 3 years, and they've had a lot of success doing that and rewarding their investors. And I think they try and bring new buyers in through that project, so it's good for the game as well.
Well, tonight, I would say the most notable, at least the most expensive pinhook attempts, there's Hip 132, a Bernardini filly from Firewater that Stuart Morris is going to offer. That was a $340,000 fall purchase. There's a quality Road Colt, Hip 212, Blue Sky. Gainsway sends out, it's a colt out of Fashionable Frolic, and then another American Pharoah, 216, a filly out of Flatter Me with Roses, that Gary Contessa bought as a pinhook.
You know, I've never spoken to him about that, but I do see his name occasionally. I don't know exactly. I need to get more information. Maybe I'll find him tonight and then find out what he's doing.
He's got another one, too, at the end of the evening, a Super Saver filly that he paid $100 for at Keeneland November.
Yeah, I don't know if he's buying for himself or for a client or what's going on there, over the years he's had some success.
Yeah, it might be a story.
This is great. You're giving me great ideas.
That's it. That's what this is. It's interchangeable.
it's
interchanging. Exactly. That's exactly right. Any hips tonight that you're particularly excited about?
I am pretty excited about Gainsway has a lovely filly, a Tappet filly, that they're selling for Alan Poindexter, who is just, I think she's beautiful. So I'm really looking forward to her. Obviously, there are still a bunch of American Pharoahs to come. I think TaylorMade has three American Pharoahs, and Lane's End has a beautiful filly of their own by American Pharoah.
Tappet
be another exciting?
The Tappet, which one is it?
The filly, I think it's 140 something, 143 maybe.
Okay, the 143 is
142.
Okay. All right.
It's a hip to Miss Mischief, the Canadian champion Miss Mischief.
Okay. Because there's a Tappet out of the Galileo mare comes a little bit earlier. And then actually a nice, it looks like that Medaglia d'Oro might be a popular play tonight.
There's also a half brother to Collected. Runnymede will sell.
Yeah, there's plenty tonight.
There's a lot going on tonight.
You're right. I had concentrated on night one because that had been over the weekend. People were saying that night one felt a little bit more top heavy. One thing we didn't talk about yet is the RNAs. And early in the evening, and I don't know if it was a victim of the timing, being early in the evening or what, but the La Verdad baby, that I thought was probably the most notable RNA'd at 775, and not sure. Did you hear what Sheila Rosenblum was looking to get? Probably wanted seven figures, I would imagine.
Yeah, I think that was probably what she was hoping for. But she's, as I said before, someone who I think she's probably fine keeping that filly and racing herself. I think, you know, she just maybe put the horse in the sale, see what she could get. But she's also happy to keep her. I think there's a lot of sentimental value for her for that yearling as well, being by her out of her champion.
And also, when you talk sentiment, notable that she had named her. And that's usually an indication that
harder to give them away. Yes,
exactly. La Caramia, which I did take note of that. There was, we should also mention that again early in the evening, La Verdad's filly was Hip 19, and Hip 10, the American Pharoah colt out of Jay-Z Warrior, RNA'd at 800. So there is some. The people settling in and so forth that may have contributed to those not selling.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of a disadvantage if you're selling early in the night and people haven't quite figured out how the sale is going. They want to take a little more of a wait-and-see approach, and I think maybe that hurt those horses a bit.
Well, sign up for TDN news alerts, which come all night long. You'll think your phone is going to burst into flames on nights like this. Every time there's an important result, and the team at TDN absolutely on top of it. You can read about any number of the stories, and Jess will be out there digging them up all day long, and then into the night. Won't you?
Oh, yes, I hope so. I was hoping you were going to give me another idea. I had my.
I wasn't. There. Now you're on your own. Come on, baby bird.
Oh, no. Yes, I will be there. And we're hoping it's slightly less crowded. Last night was pretty crowded, and we couldn't get anywhere. So we're hoping maybe a little less crowded tonight, so we can see better and get some stuff done. But yeah, we're looking for some good stories tonight.
Well, you know what, if you need help, getting through the crowd, just get behind Claire, because she...
That is my trick. Don't tell people this. That's my trick, actually. She is great at blocking people.
Let me tell you, Claire was like Charles Barkley out there last night.
She has the height, and that helps her. And she also has a microphone that she pushes people out of the way with. So
well, she's not...
That,
yeah, and she's also not afraid to swing an elbow.
No, not at all.
Oh, I love it. Jess Martini, TDN, to follow on your Twitter machine. Jessica, we'll see you tonight. Thanks so much.
Great. Thanks, Steve.
The TDN team, and they do a tremendous job. Her and Christy DeBernardis. My God. This is why I don't have Christy on, because Bernardis... It's a tricky name. Now I'm going to be in trouble with Claire. I can tell already. The texts are coming in. That's pretty good. Let's take a break. Johnny D back from California. We'll talk to Johnny in about 10 minutes. We'll catch up on some other things. What else? Brad Cox, who only won 14 stakes over the weekend. No, I think just six, five or six. Unbelievable. We'll talk to Brad. He was shopping last night. We'll also catch up on some of the other. Who else did I talk to? Rob Moquette. Moquette. Great to have Moquette around and feeling good. And he was on the hunt. And Alex and Joanne Lieblong, they came away with one. I think they got rebuffed, actually, on one. They were in the game on one of the top sellers and pulled back a little bit, and then later took that Tisnow colt out of Sea Rock City that I mentioned, 575 for the Lieblongs. Look A lot of good stories. A lot of good stories in here. And we will follow them up tonight as well and later. But right now, take a break. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Join us at Presque Isle Downs for our two biggest days of racing. Sunday, September 16th, the $200,000 Presque Isle Mile. Monday, September 17th, the Grade II $400,000 Presque Isle Masters. North America's top filly and mare sprinters compete in the Premier Breeders' Cup Prep Race. Free Presque Isle Masters hats for the first 1,000 fans. Free T-shirts each night for the first 500 fans. September 16th and 17th, Presque Isle Downs, Erie, Pennsylvania. For more, go to PresqueIsleDowns.com.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.